The Brad Sesmatt Show, broadcasting live.
Good Thursday. Thanks for being with us. Jody's Gems today. Jody Jackson with her gems. And today we're going to talk about Tua and his concussions for Sunday's game because I'm uncomfortable. And I'll get into that here in a minute. Also, Jody did something very cool over the weekend that as a fan of the sporting world and football and her as a parent, her and her husband, Chad, they were able to be somewhere watching one of their kids do something very cool. We also talk about the Monday night win for the Cardinals as well. Opening comments are brought to you by Desert Financial Credit Union. Desert Financial Credit Union, taking care of you, taking care of your business. As always and through the years, that is Desert Financial Credit Union. We do appreciate their support. Also, we're going to put up on the site today our newest endeavor, our newest show, Total College Football. It'll be up on the site later today. Devin is doing a Sport of Speed show. We've added a couple new shows that are with one of our partners, CW, that air during the week. One of our partners, of course, our longtime partner, is Arizona Family Sports. We have our shows over there. We have Bleacher Talk over there. And at Your View and Cox on the television side, we have Sports 360 AZ. So we have different shows, three different networks all around here on the site. A lot of distribution, YouTube channel and all that stuff. So make sure you check it out. I sat and watched the Suns game last night. From start to finish. It used to be I'd want to go to opening night. It used to be like you need to be at opening night. And then you'd start to see, well, opening night doesn't really have the star power that it once has because the NBA season is so damn long. Now, last night was different. Last night I did think about, you know what, I wouldn't mind going to the Intuit Dome. The place looks like a spaceship. It's in LA. It's not in a great neighborhood, supposedly. None of that stuff means anything to me. I wanted to hear and see the wall. The wall. So Steve Ballmer is the owner of the Clippers. If you know anything about where your internet is coming from or business in general, you know the name Steve Ballmer. And he decided to build an arena that is a monstrosity, but it has this wall that he wants crazy fans to be at, college-type environment. Kevin Durant and Devin Booker both talked after the game last night about this fan wall that was built. And Ishbia was in attendance at last night's game. At some point, the Suns are going to want to have a new arena. I think it's going to be sooner rather than later. Between the Diamondbacks and their stadium issue, and I think the Suns just kind of looking at maybe we need to move further south of where their current location is. Universities looking at where the ballpark is, what would it look like if U of A had a campus there or Grand Canyon University had a campus. It's all this business side of stuff that I love. And so I'm wondering if Matt Ishbia was watching last night this wall of fans. It's kind of like a Thunderdome deal. It's kind of like Gladiator, you know? They're right on top of you. It's not the usual setup. And it looked like it did have an impact on the players. Kevin Durant, Devin Booker both thought it was pretty cool. The game itself last night for a season opener was a heck of a lot better than the Bucks game beforehand with the Celtics, or the Sixers, I should say. It was a lot better than, no, it was the Bucks. A lot better than Joel Embiid and the NBA already investigating why Joel Embiid isn't playing in games. Kawhi Leonard didn't play last night for the Clippers. Of course he didn't. Kawhi Leonard doesn't ever play, it feels like. He'll only play if it's late in the season, it's games that matter. So those of you that are new to this show or those of you that have seen, you know I get in this rant about how sports has become the performers, the actors and actresses, as we like to say, are overworked. You will say, well, they get paid a lot of money. It doesn't, the decimal point, when you see where a guy is on load management on opening night, come on. You can't be on load management when it gets into the playoffs. When it gets to next April. I don't know where I'm going to be next April. Do you know where you're going to be next April? All I know is these players are supposed to be at their highest level next April and May. And it's October. and they're playing games that are counted in the standings. So I have very low expectations. You know, the storyline of tomorrow night, LeBron and Bronny against the Suns on a Friday night on ESPN, yes, that'll get a ratings point. I'll watch. Monday night when it's the Suns and Lakers, I might go, because it's early, it's, you know, the whole drama and all that. The better story is actually during the day, if the Lakers are even here for a shoot-around where you can actually talk to them instead of the usual before-the-game stuff. Anyways, a lot of inside baseball. But entertaining game for an opening night. Suns get the victory. They're 1-0. They're going to win the championship. That's how things work here in Phoenix. Everybody gets all excited, and then reality hits. I'm actually interested for tonight's Thursday night game. I'm interested in Thursday night football because it's the Rams. It's a division game with the Cardinals in the NFC West. Rams are taking on Minnesota, a team that is in the NFC playoff discussion, obviously, with the season that they've had so far, and all these rumors swirling around about Matthew Stafford and Cooper Kupp. I don't know if Tankapalooza is going on, if the Rams are like, you know, this is about as far as we've going to go with this group, and we've seen enough of Shedeur Sanders that we should probably start tanking. I don't know if there's teams that are doing that. I think that there's teams that can only get about as far. This is the roster they have. This is about as far as they're going to get. So you have to make a decision. If you're the, you know, if you're the Rams, you do have a shot at all of getting back to being a Super Bowl contender with the roster that you have. If you're the Cardinals, I'll just throw them in this boat. When you see teams like Kansas City saying, we have to go for it. We have to go get DeAndre Hopkins. Whether D-Hop can play or not play, I don't know. If he's got anything left in the gas tank, they've had a bunch of injuries. They're the Chiefs. They go out. They make moves. They make things happen. Here in Arizona is the trajectory of the Cardinals. Of the 32 teams, we're the 15th best. They're the 20th best. I think they're somewhere in that range, more than 15. But what are you trying to do to get into the top 10? What are you trying to do to get in the top 5? That's what I want. I don't want to be the Dallas Cowboys where it's all hype and hope every single stinking year. Or just here in Arizona where we're satisfied with, hey, we might get to 7 wins this season in Arizona. There might be a chance that they get into a playoff push at the end of the year. Instead, I'd rather have a team that is built for long-term success. Unfortunately, the roster that was left behind from the previous mess, you can't get it turned around overnight. This is not college football. College football, you can go be the Indiana Hoosiers. You can go raid James Madison, and all of a sudden your roster is pretty good, and you're undefeated. And oh, by the way, ESPN Game Day is going to be in Bloomington, Indiana. Who had that on their bingo card at the start of the year? Nobody. Nobody. You don't go to Bloomington, Indiana for college football game day. You go to Bloomington, Indiana to talk about the late Bob Knight. You go to Indiana to talk about Isaiah Thomas and the glory days. You go to talk about the movie Hoosiers. You don't go there and talk about Indiana football. But in college versus the pros, you can get turned around pretty quick. I'll give you an example. Florida State a year ago was 13-0. They're 1-6, I believe it is right now. Michigan, defending national champion. One of two schools that have double-digit turnovers and less than 1,000 yards in total offense. Go look it up. Less than 1,000 yards in total offense from Michigan. And oh, by the way, just so we're really clear about Michigan and how bad they are this season, the guy who's the head coach was there last year and knew what was in the quarterback room. Can they get it turned around? Sure, it's the beauty of the college football playoff. I'm more into the college game, and I'll get into that here momentarily, but I do want to get over to Tua. Jody and I are going to talk about Tua here shortly. So Sunday, I don't know about you. I'm sure that there's some of you that will be in the, I want to see Tua get another concussion. I'm not sure that you and I could go hang out and have a cigar and drink a beer together. I don't want to see somebody be damaged again. 3 concussions, 22 years, or 22 months. 3 concussions, 22 months. And I've seen the players that I don't use this term in a sense that's trying to be funny, but they're trying to drink dinner out of a straw. That's not, I don't want to see that. Or the player that you put them on the air and about a minute in, you realize, yeah, they're not going to be back here again because I don't want to embarrass them. I don't want them to embarrass themselves because they don't really realize that cognitively things are slowing down. Even hearing Tua explain himself earlier this week, I'll do it to the death. Really? You're going to use that term? So the game on Sunday, yeah, Cardinals, East Coast, body clock, all that stuff's easy to talk about. The hard discussion is when Tua goes to the ground, if he hits his head again, like we're really just watching a guy that at some point, the number of players that get hit in the head and go down and come back up, he's had it 3 in 22 months. Nobody in his camp, nobody in the league, there's nothing somewhere that says if you have X diagnosed concussions, you have you can't play in this league anymore. Well, the players you knew would never agree to that. Well, has anybody ever tried? Maybe it's the NFL doctors that shouldn't be doing it. Maybe it should be an independent doctor. Well, somewhere, somehow they're being influenced by the NFL to look the other way. So that's it on the Cardinals side of things. On the college football end, a little bit deeper on the field, like tonight, I didn't think I'd be wanting to watch Pitt and Syracuse, but I am tonight. Syracuse, Kyle McCord's as good as any quarterback in the country. Syracuse is kind of a case study of what you need to do, as is Indiana, as is Arizona State, to be quite straight with you. You better be able to hit on the portal. If you hit on the portal, and Kenny hit with Sam Leavitt, and there's others, but that's the main one. If you can find that quarterback in the portal that can get the job done for you, all of a sudden your trajectory is going to go a different level. Let me ask you something. You're a Florida State fan. Did you hit on the portal at the quarterback spot? The answer would be no. Did you have a lot of losses last season? The answer would be yes, players' losses. Michigan, did you hit on the portal with your quarterbacks? Or did you think you had quarterbacks and they can't play? So go down the roster of these schools that are winning games, winning in a fashion that you look at and say, wow, did they come out of left field? Vanderbilt. They come out of left field? No, they went in the portal and found a quarterback from New Mexico State that can play. It's all this crazy stuff that I think is great in college football. I think it's great. College is far more interesting than the NFL, the college game is. Far more to me. With everything that is going on. It doesn't mean it's all cherry blossoms and everything's beautiful and great. It's not. When this house settlement gets settled, you're going to see sports being cut, sports being sent back. The gloom and doom that's out there, there's some of that that's true, in my opinion. But if you're thinking that Pitt Syracuse is sitting here tonight, tomorrow night, I got to watch UNLV Boise State. Winner of that game's in a pretty good spot for a CFP invite. Saturday, and just go right down the list of all the games on Saturday. So the college game, in my opinion, the way that it's laid out, is interesting and entertaining. Can the adults in the room not act like kids and figure out a way to make it all work together? And you had the SEC and Big Ten last week saying, yeah, we really don't need private equity dollars. What does that mean for Arizona State and U of A being over in the Big 12? All right, what else? World Series is tomorrow night. I'm very interested in that, but I don't have much to say because I'm late to Jody, so I will step aside. And Jody Jackson's Gems, brought to you by E.D. Marshall's, E.D. Marshall Jewelers, that is next. It is time for one of my favorite segments of the week, and that is with Jody Jackson. It's Jody Jackson's Gems, brought to you by E.D. Marshall Jewelers. We appreciate E.D. Marshall Jewelers and all their support of Jody Jackson's Gems. I'm going to throw Jody some curveballs. Here's the thing. I never rehearse with Jody. I never say I'm going to ask you about this, 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 and this. It's Miami this weekend, okay? Miami of Florida is playing Florida State on Saturday. Miami is the home of Jody Jackson's college life, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So,
yeah, fire away. I can't wait to hear this. Where are we going?
Yeah, where am I going with this? So this is, are you looking at this weekend between the Cardinals and UM, the U, playing FSU as maybe get on a plane and go? No?
No.
You have more important things to do.
Well, yeah, there's a lot going on, you know, with the two athletes in the family. There's a lot of options here on the western side of the country. But it's funny, I was talking to Dave Pasch before the Monday night game. He is actually doing Miami, Florida State, which I think is in Tallahassee, which would make, I think, more sense because that stadium probably is not going to host two football games in 2 days.
Yeah.
Although it could, but I should know all this. I'd get all the emails about, you know, Miami events like homecoming and all that stuff. And I did get the email about buy the tickets because Miami, the Hurricanes are back, baby. Let's go.
Here we go. Here we go. Are you part of the collective? Are you paying players at the U, Jody?
Not me. Well, now everyone's paying players, Brad. You know, we were just ahead of the game.
We were just before our time. Not to date yourself, but who were some of the players that were at the U getting paid when you were there as a cheerleader?
Well, I'm not going to sit there and say that I was. Now, I was a dancer baton twirler. I did have a lot of friends who were on the cheer squad. I mean, what are the guys? Look, I am not saying that this young man was being paid.
Sure.
There were a couple of guys. One was Kevin Williams, who ended up with the Cowboys, the kick returner. I know you remember him. He had a pretty sweet car.
Mm.
Like, he had the rims, a Mercedes with the rims and all that. And I mean, I'm not high. He was outside. I actually lived in the football apartments.
Ah.
There were four of us girls, and there's some other, you know, there were people like us. And then there was like a whole wing of like got football apartments, which were very rowdy. The Saturday night into Sunday.
No way, no chance. Route.
Yeah, this car would roll up. I forget what the color. There was one that was green, but no, Kevin Williams. I'm like, that's a really nice car.
Yeah.
So I'm not saying he could have brought it over from Dallas.
Yeah.
I think he was from Dallas, but I'll leave it there.
Yeah, that's good. Just leave it at that. Jody Jackson, Gems, with us for a few minutes. When Tua is on the field Sunday, are you going to be nervous for him?
Yeah. I've been nervous for Tua for a while now.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, this is a really deep conversation, longer than we can go into here because we have a lot to cover. But there is something with Tua. You have people now trying to figure out, is there something with him? Because the reactions he's had on the field – with almost like a seizure, like I've heard more and more people questioning, like, what is going on with him? Is it even, you know, and whether this could be worse or it could be better. I don't really know. I'm not a doctor, but are these concussions plus some other reaction? To me, clearly it's not good, but look, I know he talked about it on Tuesday morning. You know, he talked about, he loves the game so much and, you know, to the death or something like that was the quote. Nobody wants to hear that. You know what I mean? And, but Tua, I am nervous for a lot, you know, it's football. Yes. But, I know what a violent game it is. So certainly anyone with an injury history, I'm a little nervous for them, but you know, when you're the Cardinals, you can't think about it. You just have to play the game. And, you know, you hope something, you know, disastrous doesn't happen to Tua going forward. But for the opponents, you know, it's a physical game and you have to play it as such.
I heard his explanation and I was nervous hearing him just giving his explanation because it sounded like he was searching. And I'm not going to speak for you. I'll just say on my end, I've talked with players when they're done playing. And the concussion stuff is real. Anybody who doesn't believe it is, I don't know where their head is on that. There's a certain way they go about their mannerisms. Things happen off the field. They're not able to communicate as clearly. And so, yeah, I'm nervous to watch him play. Three of them since 2022, and those are just ones that are diagnosed concussions. Doesn't mean anything about the old term ringing the bell. So that's the backdrop to me around Sunday's game. And yeah, it's a big game for the Cardinals after eking out a back and forth affair on Monday night against the Chargers. But I'm looking ahead at this, Jody, saying 10 a.m. body clock. That's hard. East Coast, that's hard. Seattle last week just boat raced Atlanta, 10 a.m. start, East Coast. So it can happen. And the fact that it's the Dolphins with Tua back on the field. There's a lot around this game.
Well, you're right. It is a very tough draw to go Monday night game. I know they're at home, but Monday night game and then going east.
Yep.
That's not ideal. And this is a team that no matter how they try to do it, they're going to go, of course, on Friday, and they're going to get ready to do this. But it's not an easy the body clock thing is real with athletes. It's hard to battle that. They're coming off a pretty physical game against the Chargers. I'm still trying to figure out really how they won. I'm thrilled for the Cardinals. And they fought really hard, and they did a lot of little things well. But I'm still trying to figure out can we just kind of break this up and compartmentalize both of these thoughts? So follow me here.
Sure.
How did the Cardinals win the game? How did the Chargers not score a touchdown? Like, Justin Herbert threw the ball all over the field, granted to some targets. You know, I'm going to pat myself on the back. Will Disley, to me, was my pregame isolation on who he's going to go to. And that's who he went to most of the time. And Ladd McConkey made a couple of catches. They didn't have Quentin Johnston. They don't really have a lot of targets for Justin Herbert. How do you rack up that many yards through the air and make that many plays and not score a touchdown? I'm shaking my head, but I'm not thinking too hard about it, Brad, because it was a Cardinal win, and I think everyone here will take that.
As Kyler said accurately afterwards, it was an ugly victory. He said it on Monday Night Football's broadcast. But they'll take it. You know, a win is a win. And when we look back on the season, no matter how it goes, they're not going to say, remember that game in Monday night and week, you know, was that the game that turned their season around? I think that's the better question is, was that the type of grit victory that turns the Cardinals season around? Or is this just what it's been forever, which is they look terrible one week and the next week they look pretty good. And then they don't look good again. And so back and forth. So are you in this spot where now you've watched them play again and get a victory in person? Do you think this is the front end of getting things going? Because the NFC West is wide, wide open.
It is. I mean, you look at it and they have the same record as the 49ers at 3-4. I guess the question is really, is it the turning point? It really just depends on what they do with it from here. It certainly puts them in a way better position at 3-4 rather than 2-5. They still don't have a passing game. I mean, it's basically Kyler Murray, Trey McBride, and James Conner. Yep. And not to discount, you know, Greg Dortch caught a touchdown. You know, Michael Wilson caught, I think, one pass. Can you have a good offense? Can you have I think most of us as fans, you want to watch a good offense, a fun offense. And that includes a wide receiver that is a big part of it. And they don't have that. And Marvin Harrison Jr. is not that. And Drew Petzing wants to hang his hat on the run, and he's doing that right now with James Conner. And James Conner is unbelievable. James Conner is everything about why the Cardinals won this game. Going back to him punching the ball out after Kyler, you know, the game started off with Kyler going 2-for-8 before he went 5-for-5 on the Dortch touchdown drive. But a batted ball, Khalil Mack, a batted ball again that was an interception where Conner punches it out. James Conner was all over the place in this game. And his 33-yard reception that set up the field goal, I mean, that was like, I think they had 300, they had just over 300 yards of total offense. That was like a tenth of the yardage came in that final minute 54. And it was a weird game, but it was gritty. It was gutsy. And Kyler Murray did find James Conner on that play. So give Kyler Murray credit on that. But I miss that intermediate passing game. You know, I don't know. Can they go far without it? I don't know how far they can go with, if they don't have it, they have to have the good defense, which we saw last night against a team with the Chargers that they don't score touchdowns very well. They put up yardage, but they're not good in the red zone scoring touchdowns. Heck of a field goal kicker. But I just, they have to get that figured out. Not only because it will be more entertaining. No, at the end of the day, no one cares, right? You don't have to be entertaining. You just have to win.
Are you whoa. You weren't entertained by that battle of the epic titans last night?
No, I was entertained. That was a really entertaining game. I just think that I miss, it's funny how we talk about the NFL going back to the run.
Yeah.
And the game used to be this, and in the middle it was this, we act like in the middle it was this great passing tab. But I even remember going back to watching, you know, when I was growing up, I was watching Dan Marino slice and dice through. So hey, they weren't like running the ball. They were slicing and dicing through the air. And I guess there's part of me that just misses that, you know. And then the more modern is Kurt Warner. And you know, Tom Brady to somebody. I feel like the quarterback play is just throughout the league, it's just not nearly what it was. And I don't know if that's just the evolution of defenses. And that's why teams want to run the ball now, which I agree is a more sustainable way to win games. But that quarterback play has been really missing, and it's missing with the Cardinals too. And I think Kyler Murray's making some plays, but he's not making enough. And I think it's also on the wide receivers.
Okay, before I get you out of here, I'm going to throw you another curveball. Jody just sat there and rattled off Dan Marino and Kurt Warner and Kyler Murray and Justin Herbert. She knows her quarterbacks. So you saw a quarterback play Saturday night in college football for the first time on the field. And you want to share this little story with us? I saw it on your social. It was a beautiful moment. I'm laying it up to you. Knock it out of the park if you so desire.
Yeah, no, you're talking about my son, Connor, who, again, was a quarterback here in the Valley at Corona del Sol. And I think the biggest thing for me, Brad, is, you know, when he decided he wanted to continue on in college and he was offered by Western New Mexico, he went over there to Silver City, Division II, Lone Star Conference, put in the work over the summer. You know, he loves that. He's very cerebral. He's a student of the game. And he's, like I said, like all the guys, everyone playing college ball, I mean, they're putting in a lot of work and a commitment, and I'm getting to see that firsthand. But, you know, he is a kid that is probably going to see just limited time this freshman year in red shirt. And he got into the game the other night. He played a little bit, I want to say the last little bit of the third quarter into the fourth quarter. And I forgot what it was like to just, you know, it was only last year. His last game that he played in was last season in a playoff game and that they lost. And it didn't go very well at all. And, you know, just to see him out there, not only proving that he, you know, it was just one little sample, but proving that he can play in college and that he was prepared to do that and went out there and did his job. It's kind of a job now, you know, it's college, but it's a job. And then also just being back in it, being back in a game. And it was just, I wasn't thinking about all this in the moment. I was just watching him play and he made some good plays. And of course there were a couple bad plays. He got sacked, which is like, okay, you know, all the normal things, like he checked a lot of boxes in a quarter, right? Good and bad. But and he threw a touchdown pass. But just to be able to see him playing again, I know how much it meant to him. Because when you're preparing, it is fun, but there's nothing like being out there playing.
Right.
And for me to see him get that chance again, for many, you know, what's the country song that says, next time I'm out there, I'll have to buy a ticket. Next time I'm in the stadium, I forget the song. I have to buy a ticket to the game. Well, when you can continue to play the game, I was happy for him to get to do that. And hopefully he'll get to play a lot, you know, down the line, whenever he'll play more. But I thought he did great. I thought he was really poised. I was nervous for him just to be back in it. He said he was actually more nervous for his first high school game when he was, you know, 15 years old.
Yeah.
So I mean, as a varsity player, he was 15. So to me, that was, I guess I get it now. You know, he's still young. He's 18 and a half, but I think he's mature enough now that he didn't go in like totally nervous. He kind of had more of a command of what he was doing.
It's beautiful. It's beautiful.
It was fun. And yes. Oh, by the way, I spent about 8 hours traveling, including 2.5 hours driving down to the south part of Texas there. But that was kind of exciting too. What an adventure for me.
Yeah.
On Saturday.
It's, you know, it's when I call this segment Jody Jackson's Gems, it's not just about the Cardinals. Like, your life is really interesting. And as a football mom and just hearing the emotion in your voice of seeing your son out there do his thing. And I have to imagine that because of the job that you have, that there's times where he's gotten in the car and you've just shredded him. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding.
I don't do that.
Yeah. You know what Kurt Warner would have done?
And neither does my husband, by the way. I mean, we don't do that. I'm not trying to sound like, but Connor knows, you know, these kids, many of them, not just Connor, but they know what they did or didn't do. And they have coaches for that. But I'm just proud of him. I'm like any mom, you know, I'm proud of him because he works hard and he's smart. And he does the right stuff to be in the position. And you just play the game as long as you can.
You play the game until they take your helmet away and then you take the helmet back. When you give them the helmet, then you're done. And that's what I tell players. Don't let them take the helmet away from you. Just keep playing. The fact that your son is sitting there in Division II and he's getting it done on the field and he's making friends and, you know, and he's getting his education, all that stuff. In a day and age where I deal with crazies, okay, my kid is going to go D1 or nothing. Oh, okay. Yeah, he's 5'2 and 140 pounds and he has a GPA of 2.2. He's not going to Notre Dame. Oh, you're a dream killer. No, I'm not a dream killer. I'm trying to help you here.
Yeah.
No, it's good stuff. Good stuff with you on this front. I appreciate you being open book about your personal life on this stuff. That is what makes Jody Jackson's Gems so great. Thanks,
Brad.